Hey, this is May, the month of May. That's the May the month my birthday is in, May 25th. So that's a Friday. And you know what's going to happen on that day? American Samoa, way off in the Pacific, an island or a group of islands, is going to become U.S., part of the U.S. rates, and that'll make it unlimited for long distance. So I'll be able to call it free anytime I want. So I'll dial some numbers in American Samoa for you on my birthday when I do stories and stuff again. Well, that's what this is, stories and stuff, sometimes stories and sometimes stuff. And this is Joy Bubbles, your storyteller in Minneapolis. And I, you know, one of my affirmations that I say a lot is I have all the money I need and all the time I need, and I'm a wealthy soul. And you know, one of the biggest things that make me a wealthy soul is the friends I got. And there's two of them that, are they ever wild. I'll never forget them. I met them both in April of 1995, late April. And one's named Penelope, and the other's named Judy, and they both live in Oklahoma City. They are partners, but they actually have separate houses. But, quite often, Judy is in Penelope's house. One day, when I mentioned to them that I was going to give blood for some extra little pocket money, they wouldn't take my blood because I had sugar in my urine. And you know what Penelope did whenever she'd call me, like, you know, a lot of times at 1 or 2 in the morning to talk and stuff? She'd say, "Hello, sweet pea." She must have done that for several weeks. "Hello, sweet pea." So, she was always doing something. There was a night that Penelope actually found me a job. Well, actually, Judy was the one that found the job, and Penelope is the one that told me all the particulars. How it all started is I mentioned that I was going to need some extra money, I thought, to save up for Pittsburgh, to complete my saving plan to go to Pittsburgh. And I needed a little job of some kind to kind of get a little more. The reason I was going to Pittsburgh is to hear all the Mr. Rogers programs. They have an archive there at the University of Pittsburgh with all the programs from, like, program number one back in 1968. And now that Mr. Rogers is gone, his last programs made the collection total 895. And I've heard them all starting from program number one. There was 130 up there. Black and White in that series, and then the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood, the color collection, ended up totaling 765. Well, how was I going to make it to Pittsburgh by my target date? I needed a little job, and one day, about 2 or maybe 2:30 or 3 in the morning or something, the phone rang, and for some reason I was sleeping at that hour. I don't know why. And I woke up very sleepy, and Penelope said, "Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles." She always had to say it 3 times. Actually, you know, Joy Bubbles, I just have one name. But for her, I have 3 names, and they're all the same, especially when she's excited and real happy. "Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles, I found you a job." "Really?" "Well, actually, Judy did it," she told me again, because Judy was right there kind of punching her, saying, "I did that." So, you know, Penelope better not take the credit for it with Judy sitting right there, you know. So, anyway, Judy found it on the computer. "And what is it?" "You'll work in a laboratory and they'll pay you." "Oh, but what is it?" "Well, it's a laboratory. You'll be in a laboratory and they'll pay you checks and you can go to Pittsburgh." "Yeah, but what do I do in this laboratory?" "You smell pig poop." "What?" "You know, doo-doo, you know. Everybody does it, including pigs, and you'll go there and smell it, and then they'll give you checks, see? And when somebody's talking to you at 2 or 3 in the morning and telling you they found you a job, well, actually, Judy found it, smelling pig poop, you don't actually know whether to believe it or not." So I said, "Well, this sounds real interesting. Do you have a phone number that I can call?" "I sure do," and she gave it to me, and it began with 624. And I said, "Where is it?" She said, "At the University of Minnesota." And I do know that 624 is one of their exchanges there. So this started to have a little believability. So I said, well, let me record this on my voicemail so I'll remember it good tomorrow morning. I'm not all the way woke up yet. So we put about, it was an odor panel where you go smell the air samples from these pig farms. And they do different things to the pigs, the feed and the climate and everything to see if the smell is, you know, more or less. And you operate this machine called an olfactometer and, you know, to smell these samples that the nasal rangers went and brought in for us lab rats. It's a good job, you know. I never had anybody trying to push me out of the way to take it over from me, though, or anything. Nobody ever fought me for it. But it was a darn good job. You know, the samples might not have smelled too good, but the checks smelled real good when I'd get those. And it was, you know, to help lessen the bother of hog farms, the neighborhoods. So with that help and everything, I did make it to Pittsburgh and stayed there for 2 months. Yep, Penelope had trouble having babies, too. So she got Judy, or Judy offered to be a surrogate. Penelope was so happy she cried. And Judy would have Penelope's babies, a baby with Penelope donating her eggs. You can imagine how excited we were. The darn thing took 9 months. That's a long time to wait for a baby. But when you're excited about each day going by. But it finally got to where the 9 months was ended. And Judy was having a little baby named Mindy. And Mindy was born stillborn. Little Mindy was dead. And, you know, they're part of my spiritually adopted family, Penelope and Judy, and there's a lot of love in that and a lot of joy. But when you really get a friend, you also end up feeling the hurts with them, too. And it's one of the times I was awfully glad I had tear ducts because I sure needed them. And so did Judy and so did Penelope. There was almost like deeper tears than crying. They're hardly even able to say what we felt. Little Mindy born so perfect looking and yet not alive. Well, Judy was asking Penelope about wanting to save, you know, the little handprints and the birth certificate and the pictures and things like that. And Penelope said, no, throw that away. I don't want any of it. And the nurses had written special little messages, and even the gynecologist and people like that had written messages in there for her of love and support. And she just didn't want any of that. She told Judy to throw it away. I want you to throw that away. You tell me you promised to throw that away. And there was a whole bunch of stuff like that. Penelope had held little Mindy for a while and everything, but a couple weeks went by, and the grieving was like about as strong as ever. You don't get over something like that even, well, I guess you never get over it. There's always a hole torn out of you. It was something wrong, they think, with Penelope's eggs. But a couple weeks went by, and Penelope was crying again and saying, oh, Judy, Judy, Judy. She loves to call people by three names. I wish that you would save that stuff for me. I wish that we had saved that. I wish I had told you not to throw it away. And one thing that Judy was doing a lot around that time is making cakes. She had been doing that for the last year or so. Big, big cakes. And Penelope was rather sick and tired of Judy's cakes. And Judy said, I'll be back in a minute. And she came in with another big cake box. And Penelope was mad. The last thing I want to see is one of your cakes. Get that out of here. I didn't bring in any cakes. I know you don't want to see any cakes. That's not a cake. It looks like a cake. What is it then? It's a cake box. Judy had it hidden in their trunk and everything for a while, and Penelope opened it. And there was the little lock, the hair, and the handprints and the footprints and the ID bracelet and the little support booklets and some things about empty arms and helping in the hurting. And, you know, there's a word in a science fiction story. It was called Stranger in a Strange Land, the story was, and the word is Grok, G-R-O-K. And it means to more than understand, more than empathize, to really feel so deeply a person that you're so connected that you know them. And true friends, like Judy said, well, you know, we grok each other, and true friends know when no really means yes, or when yes really means no. And how did you know to save those, Penelope said. Well, I grokked you. And so a little while later, Penelope went and got a poem that I don't know where it came from. One of those anonymous ones, maybe, but she got it written in calligraphy. I think that's like fancy writing or something. I should find out. But anyway, she got a calligraphy of that of this poem and had it framed and everything and gave it to Judy to put in her special Judy place, and where she put sacred stuff. That's where she decided to keep it. Here's the poem. It's just called A Friend to Judy. She is one who troubles herself to get you out of scrapes and then scrapes to get you out of trouble. She sticks with you when you are stuck. She's never in your way except when you are on the way down. There are no strings attached to her friendship except the one she pulls for you. She never asks you for a favor as though it were coming to her and never makes you feel that she's doing one for you. She gets her biggest kick out of helping you kick over your obstacles. Her biggest disappointments are the ones that come to you. And all she wants in return for her friendship is yours. Penelope and Judy, I love you deeply. Knowing you is what helps make me a wealthy soul. And, you know, she hasn't called me Sweet Pea lately. Now that I remind her, I'm probably going to be hearing that again. Well, next time there'll be another story. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. Stay strong and find some time to play. Bye for now. At the tone.